this special occasion, the plenary presentation that we will listen to is the responsibility of Elder Ted Wilson, General Vice President of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Elder Wilson.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. What a week this has been. We have been experiencing an incredible amount of enriching presentations, beautiful seminars, and being lifted to the throne of heaven and where we know the Master Physician lives. We are indebted, of course, to the General Conference Health Ministries team for this carefully planned, meticulously executed, life-changing, extraordinary experience. And I want to thank the Health Ministries team, which I have the privilege of being, quotes, an advisor. I want to thank the team, Dr. Handysides, your tremendous group of people, Pastor Proctor, Dr. Kuntaroff, Dr. Landless, Laura, Beth, Lois, Farida, Vanessa, and of course, Dr. Ferreira and his associate, Iris, at the office of the Euro-Africa Division. And I'd like to thank also our administrators of our host division, Pastor Bruno Vertaillet. He welcomed us to this spot, and he has made us feel very much at home. Pastor Gabriel Maurer, the secretary, and also Peter Kunze, the treasurer. In addition, the Swiss Union. This is their home, and we're very grateful to be here. And just a few words to our French-speaking hosts. Et bien sûr, un petit peu de français, puisque nous sommes dans la région francophone de la belle Suisse. Alors, je voudrais remercier infiniment le peuple de cette grande ville de Genève pour leur hospitalité exceptionnelle, leur réception chaleureuse et collaboration magnifique. Et en même temps, je remercie nos frères et sœurs, nos collègues de notre institution Campus Adventiste du Célèbre à Genève, à Collonges. Merci pour le support et la fidélité donnés à chacun des délégués. Et sans votre participation fraternelle, cette semaine est avant. Cette conférence ne pourrait pas avoir été possible. Mes frères et mes sœurs de cette division et de cette région, gloire à Dieu pour vos talents et votre amitié en Christ. Now, my assigned topic today was given to me at the culmination of this meaningful week, to examine the church's responsibility to society. With all that the health ministries has to offer, how are we to help the world? To get a perspective from the past, let's take a brief look at the journey and experience of the Israelites to understand how we can learn from history as we help the world in the future. Now, how can we learn from the past to let God lead, to trust in Him, to trust in His prophets, to expand the influence of health ministries and our church in really helping people in a practical way? The children of Israel had just left Egypt. Exodus chapters 14 and 15 record the incredible events surrounding the Red Sea deliverance from Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. The people were jubilant. Exodus 14, verse 31 says, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Now, let's analyze this verse for just a few moments. A great work was visually confirmed, evidence-based. The Lord did this work. The Israelites respected the Lord. In fact, they believed the Lord. Now, that's an important component for us as we go from this place in health ministries in our work for God's church today. And they also believed his prophet, Moses. The Israelites had trust in God's prophet. Another important component for us today in health ministries. Exodus 15, 1 and on tells of singing triumphal songs to the Lord, and they believed. In fact, part of that song focuses on the power of the right hand, a familiar usage and symbolism for Seventh-day Adventist health professionals. Exodus 15, verse 6, trumpets. "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." The Spirit of Prophecy, in letter 135 in 1899, recorded by Ellen White, indicates the medical missionary work must be as closely connected with the work of the gospel ministry as the hand and arm are connected with the body. You need the gospel ministry to give prominence and stability to the medical missionary work. And the ministry needs the medical missionary work to demonstrate the practical working of the gospel. The Lord would have his work carried, forward symmetrically and harmoniously. His message must be carried to all parts of the world. And praise God for representatives from every part of the world here today. Now back to Exodus 15. Miriam took up the victory song. Everyone was excited until they came to a big problem, the desert. Now I grew up in Egypt, and I know about the desert, and I love the desert. But you have to know where the water is. They went 3 days, the Israelites, without finding water, and finally came to Marah, but the water was bitter. 3 days before, they had seen God's incredible power with water in the Red Sea, and they believed in God and his prophets. And in just a matter of 3 days, they go from triumph to despair. They don't believe in God or in his prophet or in the cloud that actually led them there. Sometimes we as Seventh-day Adventists seem to parallel that experience. Israel had constant ups and downs, constant highs and lows. They were complaining, they were triumphant, and then complaining. Aren't we tempted sometimes to do the same thing? Exodus 15, 24 says, "The people murmured against the prophet and asked, 'What shall we drink?'" You think coming from the Red Sea triumphal experience, they would have just said, "Let's see what God can do." But no, they murmured. Moses cried to the Lord. That was the right thing to do, and the right thing for us to do as we leave this place. It is only in God that we have any power. Verse 25 indicates, "The Lord showed him," Moses, "a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet." Now, we're not told what type of tree it was, whether it medicinally affected the water or was symbolic. It really doesn't matter. The point for 21st century Seventh-day Adventist health professionals is that when you are asked by God to point people to a better way of life and you run into problems, cry to the Lord and He'll show you a tree. He'll show you His power. Now this is underscored by the very next verse, Exodus 15:26, one of the most powerful health-related verses in the Bible that should be a leading motto for all of us interested in healthy lifestyles and health reform and renewal. Now let's read the promise of the Lord given through Moses. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. If ever there was a verse for Seventh-day Adventist professionals to lift up in your practice, in your interaction with others, in your health promotion, in your witness, in your preaching, it is this verse. You see, in Ministry of Healing, page 141, we read, it is the divine plan that we shall work as the disciples worked. Physical healing is bound up with the gospel commission. In the work of the gospel, teaching and healing are never to be separated. However, Israel kept withdrawing its belief in the Lord and His prophet. The next chapter in Exodus chronicles their murmuring about what to eat. They grumbled about what to drink and what to eat. Sounds like a perfect opportunity for a Seventh-day Adventist professional to enter. Actually, the world is at that point right now. People are asking what they should eat and what they should drink and how they should live. It's a great opportunity at this vital time in Earth's history, as the world is careening from one crisis to the next, for Seventh-day Adventist health professionals to step right in and say, along with Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now you couple that with the powerful admonition by God through the Apostle John, given in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And you have the prescription for the Seventh-day Adventist health professional to start a mighty revival and reformation, a primary health care renewal, if you please. A movement that will help society, health practices, health organizations, educational institutions, churches, everyone, in unprecedented ways, to find complete health physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. You and I can proclaim the three angels' messages of Revelation 14:6-12 through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the first angel proclaims the everlasting gospel, it is a message that the same God who turned bitter water to sweet, the same God who provided manna to the hungry, the same God who provided a plan of salvation, the everlasting gospel, through the life, death, resurrection, and high priestly ministry of Jesus, our Lord, it is saying to the world that this is a part of the everlasting gospel. Medical missionary work is a part of the everlasting gospel that Seventh-day Adventists have been given to share with the world. The health message and work of Seventh-day Adventists are part and parcel of the three angels' messages. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let's move it to the next level. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Like Moses, let's cry to the Lord to use us in these last days of earth's history, with chaos and confusion all around. Let's be part of a new revival and reformation of what a healthy lifestyle and health reform and medical missionary work is all about. Reflect on the Spirit of Prophecy Council in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 112. As we near the close of time, we must rise higher and still higher upon the question of health reform and Christian temperance, presenting it in a more positive and decided manner. We must strive continually to educate the people, not only by words, but by our practice. Precept and practice combined have a telling influence. Let's live what we believe. Let's live what we have been hearing during this magnificent week. Let's proclaim and live a life full of positive, biblical, and Spirit of Prophecy approaches to food, exercise, drinking habits, and lifestyle standards, and of course, all done in the compassion of Jesus. Now let's just name a few things, for instance, and I don't necessarily mean to step on toes, but just for instance, a few things of practical example. In a practical sense, that means let's proclaim and live a vegetarian diet. For instance, let's not quibble about whether Seventh-day Adventists or anyone should drink red wine. Drinking alcohol is simply bad for you, and so is caffeine. God wants us to share with the world a higher standard of healthful, drug-free living that goes beyond quibbling. Through the Holy Spirit's power, let's preach it, teach it, live it. Now, I ask you and I ask myself, are we willing to build on what has been already accomplished and expand this practical message to the world, helping people to be in physical and spiritual health, thus helping to accomplish the millennial development goals? Are we ready to humble ourselves as we face Christ's soon coming and allow Him to lead us into a new revival and reformation? While here, I have sensed a beautiful spirit of commitment, a spirit to go back home and do something of real value as the Lord empowers you. I don't believe that it was by chance or happenstance that the organizers of this marvelous conference, our esteemed team from the General Conference Health Ministries Department, I don't think it was happenstance that they chose Geneva as our venue. I believe our organizers were providentially led. Not only is Geneva the headquarters of the World Health Organization, and parenthetically, let me add how grateful we are to WHO and to its subsidiary organization, PAHO, the Pan-American Health Organization, for their support for this conference, their profound encouragement to the health ministry that we can provide to others. But not only is Geneva the headquarters of WHO and other prestigious organizations, this is the city of the reformers. It is the city that has immortalized many of the Protestant reformers at the Reformation Wall, located on the grounds of the University of Geneva, just a few blocks from this portion of the university is that wall. You see, undoubtedly, many of you, I suppose, have seen that wall this past week, if you're interested in history. It was inaugurated in 1909, 100 years ago, to commemorate the 400th anniversary or birthday of John Calvin and the 350th anniversary of Université de Genève, the university, which the university is celebrating its 450th anniversary this year. Now, I stood there at that Reformation wall last Wednesday, reflecting on the sacrifice, the commitment, the moral rectitude, the biblical conviction of those mighty, dedicated reformers: Theodore Beza, John Calvin, William Farrell, John Knox, and six others. However, there were many more dedicated reformers not shown on that wall, people of large and also little public prominence, who were a strong part of God's great reforming movement that swept Christianity, turning it closer to God's original purpose for His church, based on righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, salvation by grace, the marvelous gift of righteousness, a package plan which Jesus provides for us by righteousness in justification, and then the daily growth experience through the Holy Spirit in sanctification and ultimately glorification, all through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Out of that great Protestant Reformation movement eventually grew the Seventh-day Adventist Church, with a prophetic mission based on Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 14:6-12, to continue that reformation in turning people back to the true worship of God by focusing on Christ and His truth found in the Bible and the Bible alone. The Seventh-day Adventist movement, with its origins in the disappointment of a misinterpretation of Daniel 8:14 and a new understanding that in 1844 the investigative judgment began in heaven, is now approximately 165 years old. How long will this church continue before the Lord finishes His work for this earth through His people? Is this movement destined to simply become one of many religious denominations? The answer is a resounding no. This remnant church was called at a specific time in earth's history to proclaim the last warning message to the world. It has been, is, and will be used by the Holy Spirit to share God's great plan of salvation with a world in desperate need of hope. Hope in every sense of the word. Hope for personal peace today and the hope of Christ's soon coming. Things around us, as we are well aware as we watch the news, are falling apart, creating despair and hopelessness. Economic upheavals unseen since the Great Depression. Political instability everywhere. Strange illnesses like H1N1, the so-called swine flu, that create fear and panic. Social and moral decay just about everywhere. And movements aimed at creating a unified religious system that will not allow for religious liberty to worship God on this, His seventh-day Sabbath. People need hope. We sang about it. Let's live it. People need clear minds. They need clear minds as we embark on helping society with our unique approach of health care and healthy lifestyle. We received some powerful counsel recorded in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, page 66. You need clear, energetic minds in order to appreciate the exalted character of the truth, to value the atonement, and to place the right estimate upon eternal things. If you pursue a wrong course and indulge in wrong habits of eating and thereby weaken the intellectual powers, you will not place that high estimate upon salvation and eternal life, which will inspire you to conform your life to the life of Christ. What an opportunity for Seventh-day Adventist health professionals to help the world through practicing a healthy lifestyle ourselves and then implementing genuine medical missionary work. Efforts for a highly sophisticated setting like the most cutting-edge CAT scan or a very simple setting like helping someone with hot and cold fomentations. These efforts can be seen in measurable and non-measurable results in the touch of an optometrist, the prayer of a surgeon before an operation, a physical therapist's strengthening instruction, a nurse's gentle care, a public health worker's service during a pandemic, a respiratory therapist easing a patient's breathing and bringing peace to the soul, a health educator helping a community through the highly practical presentations of the Health Ministry Department's Celebrations Program, a pastor sharing the relationship of physical health and spiritual health, a dentist's encouraging words of assurance after a difficult procedure, a literature evangelist sharing health and spiritual literature with the homes of the community, a dietitian's personal interest in a patient's nutritional progress, a cardiologist taking time out of a busy medical practice to lecture at a health expo, a psychologist helping a young person turn away from addictions to alcohol, drug abuse, or improper habits, a rejuvenated individual telling a relative about the benefits of the 8 natural remedies and a simplified way of living, a church member giving a loaf of whole wheat bread to a neighbor or simply sharing a glass of cold water with a thirsty person. Medical missionary work is meeting people's needs in a practical way that shows them the love of Jesus. Medical missionary work has been presented as the entering wedge of present truth. It is by this work that hearts are reached and those once softened, those once prejudiced are softened and subdued. This is the work that is to be done today. In ministry of healing, medical missionary work is the pioneer work of the gospel. In the ministry of the word and the medical missionary work, the gospel is to be preached and practiced. Active church members who are health professionals, showing Christ in their trained professions and using their skills to turn the local church into a center of life and health, are fulfilling the General Conference Health Ministries Department's goal of making every Seventh-day Adventist local church worldwide a community health center. This can be done through a variety of programs, including the Health Ministry's Celebrations Program and other similar approaches. In talking with our leaders from the Health Ministries Department, I am delighted that the new website that will be developed will have a section where resources can be posted. People can access things in an interactive way. There are literally hundreds of materials available in this room, and many people don't know about it. Just to name a very few, Vicki Griffin's materials on balanced living, Abe Carpina and his health expos in the Southern Asia-Pacific Division, Dr. Ferreira and his health institute that is in progress in Portugal, Jonathan Duffy and youth resilience that he promotes in Australia, Fred Harding's positive choices, Pierre DeLange's emphasis on ecology and our spiritual responsibility coming from Norway, materials from Finland, from Australia, from Papua New Guinea, and on and on and on. You see, all of these are making the Christian witness so practical and helpful that church members can share with neighbors the benefits of heaven-inspired health habits, preventive health strategies, and simple, inexpensive home health procedures and interventions. Every church, a community health center, is one of the least expensive and most effective universal preventive health care approaches possible. It is what God wants us to do, helping people with healthy lifestyle modifications. The church is to share with the world God's complete plan of restoring the whole person, a phrase that should be very familiar to all of us, especially those associated with Loma Linda University, where the motto is to make man whole. God wishes to restore the whole person, physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. We certainly focus on the spiritual dimension as a church, and we give strong emphasis to the other three aspects. We need to redouble our efforts. We have become somewhat hesitant in strongly proclaiming the clear link between biblical truth and physical well-being, as Dr. Handyside so aptly shared with us on the opening meeting held in the executive boardroom of WHO. Do we truly believe that God has given unusual light to Seventh-day Adventists regarding a healthy lifestyle, or to use the older phrases, health reform and medical missionary work, and charge the church to help the world? Do we believe it? Manuscript 117, 1901. Every minister of the gospel should be prepared to do practical medical missionary work. The medical missionary work is to be as closely united with the gospel ministry as the arm is connected to the body. The reluctance, now listen to this, the reluctance shown to promulgations or the proclaiming of the principles of health reform is caused by an unwillingness to deny self. It begins with you and with me. In our large cities, the medical missionary work must go hand in hand with the gospel ministry. It will open doors for the entrance of truth. Many of us have seen how God has used medical missionary work in the large cities of the world. I implore you, I beg you, carry a burden for the large cities of this world. Use medical missionary work and the gospel message in a united way. This special work is to be done with careful balance and wisely initiated. In selected messages we read, health reform, wisely treated, will prove an entering wedge where the truth may follow with marked success. But to present health reform unwisely, making that subject the burden of the message, has served to create prejudice with unbelievers and to bar the way to the truth, leaving the impression that we are extremists. Now the Lord would have us wise and understanding as to what is His will. We must not give occasion for us to be regarded extremists. Why is it that we are to expand the work of this powerful blending of the physical and spiritual ministry as the world becomes more chaotic and as we approach Christ's soon coming? Councils on Health and Dr. DeWitt Williams mentioned this yesterday. I wish to tell you that soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines but medical missionary work. Do you see the future that you have, that I have? Medical missionary work is the antidote to the New Age movement, to mysticism, and to pagan philosophies, which are part of the last day deceptions of the devil. We are on the cutting edge of the great controversy between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. What will you do for medical missionary work when you return home? Will you ask the Holy Spirit to bring about a revival and a reformation in your life, in your work, in your practice, in your home, in your church? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you to initiate revival and reformation? Don't wait for other church members or church workers or leaders. You take the initiative and step forward with God's plan for the last days. Health professionals, work with pastors to present health lectures for the public sponsored by the local church, and participate with pastors in public evangelistic meetings that incorporate health as a vital part. Pastors and church leaders, recognize and champion the concept of a blended ministry with pastors and health professionals working together in unity under the Holy Spirit's guidance to nurture a revival and reformation and make every church a community health center. Today, in this great city of the Reformers, at this global conference on health and lifestyle, I believe that God is renewing His clarion call to Seventh-day Adventists and friends of like mind to ignite a new reformation and revival, both physically and spiritually. We are not only to live up to the rich heritage of the Seventh-day Adventist health ministry, but to renew our commitment to innovative approaches to health reform, health promotion, primary health care, and medical missionary work, which will be absolutely instrumental in the last proclamation of this Advent movement. As Ministry of Healing, page 143 tells us, the world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago, 2000 years ago, a revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded, and it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. I believe, brothers and sisters, that Christ is coming very soon. We're called to spiritual revival and reformation. We are called to humble ourselves before God as we take up Christ's message of hope and judgment found in the book of Revelation. A call to lift high before the entire world the special messages about health reform and lifestyle change. A call to live up to the highest Christian and professional standards of your respective sophisticated health professions. And at the same time, to help train church members in simple health practices that can be shared with neighbors and communities, thereby reducing health care costs and pointing people to the great physician who says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Ultimately, He promises to bring complete restoration. We're called to a message of revival and reformation, to fulfill in every practical way and in the truest sense medical missionary work, health ministries. A call to point at this end time of history, to point people to the true medical missionary, Jesus Christ, the Master Physician, the Savior, and our soon coming King, who says to us, here in the city of the Reformers, and to the world through us, I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Are you willing this morning to go from this global conference on health and lifestyle, committed to revival and reformation and renewal, personally and corporately? Are you committed to practical medical missionary work, health ministries, which is helping people physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually in the love of Christ? Are you committed to pointing people to the master physician who can provide abundant and complete life? If you wish to make these commitments, at the end of this service today, and at this critical time in Earth's history, using the talents, the training, and the resources that God has given each one of you, I appeal to you right now, would you quietly stand with me in total commitment to God, the Creator of all that is good. Our loving Father in heaven, we quietly come to you, recognizing that after this momentous conference, which has been a life-changing experience for many of us, that we need to go from Geneva back home, and we have to be reminded by you to put into practice not only what we have gained this week, but what we have known already, that you have a people, you have called them for a special work, and that health ministries, that medical missionary work, is a vital part of the last day gospel message. Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. We ask that you will help us to go from here filled with not only enthusiasm, but with confidence in your word, in the word of your prophets, and in the promise that you will soon return, and that the last work that we will be able to do will be health ministries, medical missionary work. Lord, empower us with this incredible message that you have entrusted to us. Give us that which we need to accomplish your goals. And may they match the goals of the community in whatever way possible. And where they don't match, Lord, help us to keep on the straight road that will lead to you and to heaven. Now, Lord, we thank you for the abundant life that you have promised to each of us, not only eternally, but right now. And we commit ourselves as health professionals, as church workers, as church members, as interested friends, we commit ourselves into your hands. Take us from here, and may your name be glorified in all that we do. We thank you for hearing us in the wonderful, powerful, tremendous name of our Master Physician, our Lord and soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.